Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Autastic, the Comedian's Guide to Autism. I am Graham Kay. And over there is...
Twinkle Toes Kirk Smith.
Yes, he just told me to move my feet because he's not wearing any shoes. And he's like, I'm afraid
you're
going to hurt my little
potatoes.
Feet. Yeah.
I'm a very refined, delicate man.
Yeah, and you know what? You do a good job of pedicuring them.
No fungus.
There's no fungus, and the length of the nail isn't disgusting, which is a real problem for most men, I've noticed. And it's actually most men who wear sandals have long nails.
The direct correlation
toenails.
Between that.
Yeah, if you cover your feet, you take better care of your feet, which is strange.
That makes no sense.
I think it's because you're more concerned about your feet. You don't want to, and people who just wear sandals have no idea. They don't even understand.
I think they've given up.
That it's gross to everybody. Sandals are the sweatpants of the shoe world. It's just like, whatever. I'm just going to walk around. Anyway.
We got to totally do it.
Yeah, my... If you're new to this podcast, we are two stand-up comedians. Both of us have loved ones who are autistic. My little brother, Peter, is autistic, and Kirk's teenage son is also autistic of varying degrees. My brother is higher functioning. We'll talk to him later on in this episode, coming up pretty soon, actually.
Yeah,
and Kirk's son is lower functioning, but super awesome and lovable, and like my brother, huge and strong.
He's, you know what, we did a little interview this week with a different podcast, and
we did. We got interviewed.
Interviewed, yeah. And the gentleman running that podcast has an autistic son, and he's a fan of our podcast,
The Finch Files. This.
That's right. He's
The Finch
six,
Files.
6'7".
6'7", yeah, 6'7" son.
Yeah.
He said he just
6'7", 280, I think.
Just breaks loose and runs down the street.
Yeah, that's like a yeah. defensive lineman.
Yeah. Just a giant happy man running down the street.
But they said they're from San Francisco, where everybody's used to seeing everything. So
yeah,
it's
just like, well, there.
That's a giant running down the street.
At least he's not doing heroin.
Yeah. And he's wearing underwear, so...
pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, no problem. So week in review, we always start the podcast with our week in review. And for my week in review, my parents are on vacation. They're actually in California right now, and I've been hanging out a lot with them. I have no idea what I'm going to do with them tomorrow. Do you have any ideas what to
do
with
parents? It's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
I have no idea what to do.
You've already taken them to the pier.
Huh?
You've already taken them to the pier,
I said.
Gotten
the pier.
You've taken them to like a wine country, right? You guys did like some sort of resort thing
we
or something?
We did, yeah. Yep. I don't know. I haven't had time to do any touristy things here, so I don't know what to do.
It's because you're trying to survive.
Yeah, man.
Does your dad want to go to
see
an acting class?
The hallway? You want to come to an acting class with me? Do you want to go see the hallway of a comedy club?
Do you want to go do a show? Yeah. Do you want to see the hallway before and after I perform?
Yeah.
Listen to the angst-ridden conversations between two comedians. What are you going to do this month? I don't know. I've booked a big gig, so I'm paying rent this month.
I don't know. But anyway, we'll figure it out. I got a full day not planned for tomorrow that I'm going to spend with them. Anyway, they're on vacation here. My little bro, Peter, is taking care of their home. He's back home. He left me a voicemail.
Yeah, he left this voicemail. We thought it was great, and we thought, what better we can review than let's just call Peter.
Let's listen to the voicemail first.
Here we go.
Hello, Graham. It's Peter. Well, when you called back, it's just that I'm on the phone with Barbara Martin, Mom's friend, because I had to talk to her about today's weather in Ottawa. So, but I couldn't call you back because I was finished speaking to her. But since I called you back, the same voicemail came up again. Where are you? You were trying to call me back, but I couldn't answer back because I was on the phone with Barbara Martin. So, but where are you? Well, if you get this message, you can try to call back if you have a chance, okay? But try to call back before I go to sleep, okay? Okay, bye.
Really upset. I missed his call by 30, like, he called back 30 seconds later. I was not...
He wants his brother.
Just... Yeah. Well, we'll call him back. I'm going to call him back right now. He should be expecting a call. Calling Ottawa, Canada, where they're having a snowy winter. I called him and he was on
always,
he was
right?
on the bus and it was like packed because it's like super snowy.
It's always a snowy winter though.
Hello?
Hey, Pete, what's up? You're on our podcast radio show. You're home. You talked to Barbara. You got off the bus. Everything's okay? Hello.
What was that?
Never mind. So you're off the bus. You're at home.
What were you? Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
No, I thought you were talking to somebody else.
No, you're on the you're on my podcast radio show. Remember, I said you're going to be on it when I called you back.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I was confused.
That's okay. My buddy Kirk is also listening and talking. You want to say hi to him?
Hey, Peter, it's Kirk. How you doing?
Have we met before?
No. I do this radio show with Graham, and so I feel like I know you because I've heard your interview with Star Wars, but we have not met in person. Nice to meet you over the phone.
Well, I don't mind Star. I think I like the original six better, okay?
That's fair. That's fair,
That's
bro.
That's what Graham was saying. He said the six is way better than because they said the saga's complete, and then they did some more. I get it.
Well, that's because when the original six first got made, that's when the Sega got complete.
Yeah, makes sense.
I get it.
I wanted to ask you about your great jobs that you're doing and how you're taking care of Strider, mom and dad's dog, and taking care of their home while they're gone. Do you like doing that?
It's great. I probably missed my apartment a little bit, but I don't want to go back till mom and dad get back.
That's nice. And why do you miss your apartment?
Well, it's just I miss having my own privacy times, my own quiet times from working a lot, but I can't go back until mom and dad get back.
Yeah, yeah, because then Strider the dog, he'll poop all over the place, won't he?
I don't want that to happen, so I need to look up until my parents get back. But look, on the weekends, I can visit my place, I can clean my fish tank, then my filter, and then put in some fish feeders that can last until the next weekend, or maybe for 14 days.
How many fish do you have now at your apartment?
Well, I used to have seven, but one died. So now I just have six.
Yeah, that's cool. That's still pretty good. That's a lot of fish. And did you walk Strider today?
I was, but I didn't feel like it because there's too much snow. It might be hard to walk through all the snow, so I just let him out to the side. Okay.
He's a big guy. You should walk him around the block because otherwise he gets restless.
Graham, I'm sorry, but there's too much snow, and I was just too tired being on a bus and with all these other people who were making it packed, okay?
Okay.
So just for today, I didn't feel like walking him, okay?
Okay. Well, thanks for taking care of mom and dad's stuff. That's good. And how are your
Graham,
jobs going?
Graham, I know Strider needs to get walked, but just for today's weather, it would be hard to walk him with all that outdoor snow, and I was probably tired of being stuck on a packed-up bus when you first called me, okay?
Okay. You're doing a good job. What job are you at?
Well, I just finished at the works where I work at.
That's near
mom and dad's place.
Yeah, the hamburger place.
Yes. And on Tuesdays afternoons like today, I have to attend my fourth job in the Glebe where we used to live in.
What do you do there?
I clean this house for this married couple named Raymond and Daphne.
That's good. So that happened today?
Well, I also work at their place on Friday mornings, too.
That's great. It's a lot of busing. Well, I'm glad you did that. Do you like your independence that it gives you?
Yes, and I think if I have four jobs, I can get paid more money, okay?
Yeah. What do you do with that money? What are you going to buy with that money?
Just food stuff, okay? Like food and cleaning items, that's it.
Yeah, no more Star Wars t-shirts?
Well, Graham, I think I should give them a rest until maybe sometime after my next birthday, okay?
Yeah, because you were buying too many, you think?
Maybe, but look, we discussed, if I have lots of shirts, that doesn't mean mom and dad would throw them away. They never do that.
No, they never throw away your shirts. You're a grown man. All right, Peter.
Okay, but I just don't want to keep buying shirts if I don't need to get more. That's all.
I know. Well, you make a budget. Anyway, Peter, we just wanted to check in with you. Thank you very much for being on our show. Is there any last words you want to say before we hang up?
Well, I've been very happy with Strider, and I do miss my apartment, but I really can't go back until mom and dad get back from traveling, just like in the last years.
Okay, Pete. I appreciate it. Thanks very much, okay? I'll talk to you soon.
It was nice to meet you, Peter.
Well, say hi to Jane for me.
Oh, yeah. I will, Pete. She says hello.
Or should I say Manjula?
Okay, Pete. I love you, buddy.
Or should I say Men Judah?
I don't think it's appropriate if I do that voice on the air. We always do the Simpsons voices where I'm
hit it, I'll edit it out.
Sanjay, I'm Sanjay and he's my brother. What's your name, Peter?
It's Sanjay.
Yeah, you're Sanjay and I'm
Apu.
I'm Apu. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Bye-bye, Sanjay.
Bye-bye, Apu.
Okay, Pete. Love you, bud.
Do you still have little jump shit? Do you still have little jump shit?
This little jump shit is taking care of the corner store, but don't worry, he is protecting with a gigantic gun.
Okay. I think that was in the Simpson episode when Homer caused his own home go on fire. Remember, because he was smoking a cigar.
Yep. And it's a lot less racist when it's in cartoon form. So, I love you, bud. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, Pete?
Bye.
That was great.
Yeah, that's Pete. You know?
He called me out, too. Have we met?
Yeah, I don't think we've met. So
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
No,
it made me think. Our topic du jour.
We're talking about being independent.
Independent.
And that's what we thought it'd be great to call Peter and talk to him about his experience.
He has been living on his own. We're very, very fortunate living on his own for a decade now, almost, which is crazy.
Yeah,
like eight or nine years, and just the amount of confidence and pride he has in his little apartment. Is crazy. Like he's taking care of my parents' home right now. And when they come home, he will not have seen my parents in, you know, a month or whatever. And he will not stay for dinner. Like we'll make you dinner if you want to stay. He'll be like, nope, I got to get home. Like
I like my own space.
Champing or chomping at the bit, however he's supposed to see it, for the entire month to get back to his little routine. And he loves doing laundry. Like it just, you know, his little budget, and he's got his little schedule on the refrigerator day by day, what he's supposed to do and what meals he can make and stuff like that. So it's he actually has a pretty normal single guy's life if you break it down. He's just got a lot of Star Wars toys. He basically has the 40-year-old virgin.
I was going to say that, Steve Carell, the 40-year-old virgin, but I didn't know if that was offensive. Yeah. But yeah,
that's well, exactly not really.
He's got his own little space. He's got his own little dolls that he collects, or action figures, excuse me, not dolls. Except for they're not in the original packaging.
No.
He rides a bike.
He barely rides a bike, actually. He rides the bus and he walks. He walks a lot. He goes on these marathon walks, which is good.
It's great.
But not, I guess, when it's snowy. He's not a big fan.
Yeah, he's having an off day. He didn't want to walk today in the snow. It's fine.
He was jam-packed on public transportation. Yeah. I mean, Nobody likes that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Independence is a thing that... not everybody out there can achieve, obviously, and we're very lucky, but it is something that we had as a family, and including his support group, had to work towards, and it took us years of training, and it's still an ongoing process in terms of when anytime something goes wrong that is out of the norm, like at the beginning, like a fire alarm would go off, or something, or the window washers would come at his apartment building
with no warning,
just freak him out and didn't know what to do, and power goes off, you know, like what is, you know, it's a lot of work still. He is independent, but he, you know, my parents are there all the time, he's got support staff there, and I just feel like from what I've seen through my brother especially and a lot of his peers in his special group, there's a lot of people out there that could be independent with minimal support from government and family that aren't. And I think people sort of feel, this autistic person.
Well, I think we talked about this. I think that all of us sometimes have to be pushed a little bit.
Yeah.
So out of your comfort zone. And so when he first became independent, I'm sure it was a big deal for him. It was really hard, and now he really likes it. But I think a lot of us go through that, where there's things that we don't even know we would like if we're not offered the opportunity to grow a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So now that he is independent, he loves it. But when you first offered it, he probably wasn't super excited.
He was very excited.
He was excited?
Yeah, he was in his early 20s, wanted to get the heck out of home, you know? He's like, any guy in his early 20s is like, I'm tired of my mom and dad, you know, just living with mom and dad.
Need a little space.
Yeah, needs a little space. So, I don't know, it's going really well. We're really happy for him. And he's getting a lot of jobs. Problem is, all of his jobs are like an hour long, you know?
Right.
So you're like, you do five jobs. What do you work, like 30 hours a week? He probably works like 12, 13 hours a week, you know?
Right, and then the commute's probably an hour each way.
Yeah. But it's something, keeps him busy. And he gets so tired. Like every voicemail, except for that last one, like pretty much every second voicemail ends with, but don't call me I go to sleep, which is 9 p.m. And then I'm on West Coast time, so that's...
Got a call before 6.
I got a call before 5.
Oh, it's 4 hours because you guys are way out there.
No, it's 3.
Okay, then 6. Yeah.
Yeah, 6. Yeah, so I got a call like by 5:30 basically. Or he's in bed. He's just tuckered out. One time I had a sleepover there when I was visiting like a couple Christmases ago, and he made me go to bed at like... He was like, time for bed.
Lights out,
Graham. It was like 8:30, and I was like, what? I just lay in bed staring at the ceiling for 4 hours. He wouldn't let me go on my phone. I had to wait for him to go to sleep. Like, it took us like an hour. Like, you know, and I was just, man.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What time does he get up?
Like 6:30, 7.
Okay.
He sleeps like 12 hours a night.
Oh, well, that's like 9, I think, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
9 to 6. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not bad. I like to sleep 8 hours. I do.
You, for a guy, for like a guy in his...
Old man?
Yeah. You sleep in like me.
Like, I like to sleep 8 hours.
I'll call you at noon and you'll be like, I'm...
Well, if I got in late, then I'm going to sleep. So, yeah, it's my priority, yeah. Listen, I'm 78. I have to take care of myself.
You remember when movies were 10 cents, probably? That's a good question. What was the price of movies when you were like
$5.
12... It was $5 when you were like 12 years old?
No, well, 12, I was in South America, so it was all screwed up. So it was like $1 because the conversion. Yeah. But I remember in college, it was $5, and you could still get candy bars for a quarter.
What?
I think
when you were in college,
you could get Snickers.
You could get candy bars?
Yeah, I remember you could get them on sale for like a quarter. They have them at maybe it's 35 cents, but it definitely wasn't $1. Yeah, for like a Snickers, yeah.
It's more than that now, bud. It's like $1.50.
I feel like I'm like Ken from 30 Rock, where the more I talk, the more I divulge my age. I'm like, wait, what age did I say I was actually? What's my Hollywood age? Yeah. I remember when automobiles were $25 and you could buy a brand new Ford painted black. Any color you want, as long as it's black.
All right, everybody. It's time for In the News.
Pew, 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 pew. I'll add that in post.
Okay. Kirk, why don't you set this one up? This is an interesting one. Makes me angry.
This is it was on the Mighty website I like. It says, family of teen with autism fighting criminal charges after public meltdown. Basically, Paul Gordo, who has autism, had a meltdown in a public library in Monterey, California, which resulted in him pushing a 58-year-old woman to the ground. Now he is awaiting trial for a felony assault charge. And his parents are fighting to have it dropped. Jill Escher, who we had on the podcast last week.
Yeah.
She wrote a very poignant response, a letter to the judge urging her to drop the criminal charges. And so basically the discussion is, are you criminalizing autism by prosecuting the behavior that some people don't have control over? So district attorney disagrees and says, we are not prosecuting autism. We're not blaming autism for his behavior. It's a crime of violence committed against an innocent woman, and we need to protect the public by making sure criminal behavior is prosecuted. Now, the family would argue that that you're actually, to charge him at all is to make his disability itself a criminal act, which that's where the rub is.
This woman should not have been pushed down, and she does not deserve to be pushed down, and it is dangerous. That being said, we do not live in a perfect society. You cannot make everybody 100% safe from blips in people's genetic coding that aren't malicious or violent. The law is there to prevent and punish people from the intent to do other to do harm to others, not to prosecute somebody who has no control. I feel for this woman. I'm sorry for this woman. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time. She got basically hit by lightning. And we, as a just society, an advanced society, cannot be prosecuting someone who is developmentally delayed and did not knowingly go out to hurt somebody.
I agree. And what's the solution? Like,
what there you, is no what solution do you want? You because wanna, the world's not perfect.
Right. What would you want to happen to this kid? You the, want him to be...
Yes. What do you, you what you're gonna send
you to be in jail?
This
doesn't make any sense.
This development delayed person to jail where he'll just be
victimized.
I can't even I don't even want to think about the crimes that will be committed against him that will be sanctioned by the government. Now I am jumping to a conclusion, and to be fair, the prosecutor said we don't want to send this person to jail. They
I
said
I think she's being naive because the prosecutor says she added we do not want to put Gordo in prison. Rather, they would like to see him put on supervised probation where he'd be monitored and given access to services which he might not otherwise qualify for.
Listen, oh, something that should have been happened way before.
And how, so does, how is supervised probation going to work? Like probation where you check in with a cop once a month?
Right.
I mean, I've we're comics. We know a few people from shadier past that are on probation. Mm-hmm. You check in with a cop once a month. How's that going to help your autism where you go once a month? How did you have any meltdowns this week?
This like, prosecutor has help you no... damn clue what they're talking about.
It's not going to help them at all.
No clue what they're talking about. First of all, that will not help them at all. What you're saying is 100%.
It's a complete waste of time.
A complete waste of time. And also, say they do get the kind of supervision that is...
Let's say they actually get services that would help them. So yeah. That's the solution. You need to punch an old lady so yes. then the state pays attention and gives you the services...
You need to get prosecuted.
...that would help you to begin with.
That's a great precedent.
Doesn't make any sense.
So if you're really in a bind, the only way you can get help for your kid is if you go tell them to go to a mall and push some old lady.
Doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. It makes me very, very furious. We got a Facebook message from someone who we will not name yet until we get more information, saying that they would like us to help them. Their 10-year-old son was charged by attacking teachers for felonies. And we will revisit this once they write back and give us a little more information. But this is crazy. This is if all the facts are there and what you know, this is
true. We're not missing something.
We're not missing something. Then this kid was at school with teachers that know this kid. And then this kid lashed out. It's a 10-year-old boy. What kind of damage can a 10-year-old boy do to an adult that they deserve to be charged and have felonies brought against them, taken away, put them institutionalized, or something like that? Like, this is like, we are coming to, our society is changing in its view of autism, and there are still vestiges of the old world treating these people like they have a you know, this, like I, this blanket, you know, oh, this person has retardation and they have to go to some institution where they're tortured probably and we just ignore them. You know what I mean? Like it's, we, that is old and wrong.
Right.
But it's weird that that's still, these little tendrils are still deep in our society.
Change is hard, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Change is hard. The society's changing, but very slowly, I feel like, in this area. Very, very slowly. I think, well, part of the thing is, it is a wide spectrum, and so I think...
A very wide spectrum.
I guess we could talk about this. So you and I have different experiences on the...
on the spectrum.
On the spectrum, yeah.
Very different. Very different, which is like we've said in the past, and you've said in the past multiple times, is good.
Yeah, I think it provides a wider view of what's... I like having the calls with your brother, like we had earlier. It's great. And I feel like it's important to have... You know, I think the point of view of somebody with autism on the podcast. However, a call with my son is impossible because he's nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll make noises and chatter, but none of it's intelligible. And I can't have a conversation like you had with your brother, where there's some joking and there's some inside jokes about something you've shared together. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important to remember.
Yeah, it is important to remember. And that sort of sentiment will just segue into a letter we got, actually, is lost on some of our listeners. And some people I don't even really believe. This is what pisses me off sometimes, is that people they don't even listen.
Right, they're writing letters, but they clearly haven't listened.
They're hearing trigger words, like they're having this Pavlovian response to trigger words, and they want to be offended. The autism community is a wonderful, supportive community with 99% wonderful people, but there's a lot of people out there who are oversensitive and looking to lash out. And
I think there's a lot of people in pain that want somebody to blame, or
that's
somebody.
That's a better way to put it.
You know, they want somebody. Somebody should pay for the fact that things are going rough for them. To be honest, so there are a lot of pain.
And really rough, to be fair. You know, and I don't know how rough it is at the worst end of it. Obviously, you have a better idea than I do, and I don't know how I would behave or react. But we do get these emails, just like super angry emails, every once in a while. Kirk, do you wanna?
Yeah, I got this.
We don't have to name this person.
This lady,
I mean,
found my website. Yeah. And so we are public figures, even if it's small public figures, so we're easy to find.
Sure.
I think it's great that you've created a show to increase awareness of autism. However, embrace your autism, or quote unquote, be different. We're talking about a very small percentage of high functioning individuals, and you're providing the public, reinforcing this unrealistic perception of autism. Do you want the public to think that autism is not debilitating, that it does not devastate families? Have you ever experienced an individual diagnosed with autism that is lower functioning, nonverbal, who engages in severe self-injury, has to wear a helmet every day, pulls their own hair out, where their family's scared of them because it'll attack them at night? So this is the part that frustrates me.
The answer is yes.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Kirk. Yes. Namely, one of his two children. 50% of his children.
100% of my sons.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my experience with sons. So it frustrates me that she's not listening, and then she still took the time to write me a long email. But yeah, and I feel like
they are upset that you are trying to find happiness and you're just not presenting everything in a depressing, everything's ruined, my life is ruined format.
Yeah, and I think the part that frustrates me is not that her experience isn't valid. It's the fact that she's criticizing before listening. That's the part that gets to me. But No, I feel like my son is and for those of you who aren't clear on this, so I'll clarify again. My son is on the severe end and does the self-injury, has, broken his mom's nose before, some rib injuries. He can get very physical, very, very physical. We've had to lock the doors. So it's... I don't feel like Graham and I are coming from the same experiential background, but I think that's what provides a depth to the tapestry of this podcast, that it provides two points of view. It's almost on the almost absolute two ends of the spectrum. Your son, your brother lives alone, mm-hmm. like we just talked about. He's independent.
Mm-hmm.
He works. He talks to you. He jokes around. And my son's on the severe end, where if my son were to live alone and do the things that your brother does, like I've talked about, it'd be great. That'd be great for him. I'd be super excited for him if he could live alone and work. Great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where our hopes are for him now and maybe forever. So,
But there are maybe we are not talking enough about the other end of the spectrum, the harder end of the spectrum, the more difficult end of the spectrum. But the fact that we talk about this person wrote the letter, put these statistics that they made up, 5%?
Right. 2%? High functioning 5 or 10%?
Well, we don't know. Low functioning 5? So let's say low functioning is 5% or 10%. We're not to talk about the other 90% as under the blanket of autism. It still belongs.
It goes back to what we said. If you met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. So there's a spectrum.
There's a spectrum.
There's people on both ends, all ends. So
we can't give everyone the right amount of time, and we're trying. That's all we're not even...
Your experience with your brother doesn't disvalidate my experience with my son, and vice versa. My experience with my son doesn't mean what your experience with your brother is not real.
Exactly. Well put.
It doesn't mean that your pain's less real than my pain. Pain's pain, man. Mm-hmm. It's all relative. Mm-hmm. So if you had certain goals, and your dad, I'm sure, had certain ideas and goals for your brother that...
Yeah, and it's not like my brother hasn't gone, like attacked my mom either and gone, right. You know, like there has been really dark,
tough days, yeah.
Tough days in the past, you know, we'll hint at those and we'll talk about them, but we're not going to focus on them because life is still beautiful and their lives are still beautiful. And that's the point.
I think the point is to, what's the old analogy? Like there's two wolves in your life. The one is like that everything's dying and nothing's going to work. And the other one's like things are going to work out and looking at the bright side. And which wolf survives? The one that you feed. So like if every day you're like...
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Life's miserable and then you die.
Yeah. Well,
that's what happens.
Can you paraphrase your response to
I said, thank you so much for tuning in. And maybe you haven't heard all the episodes, but my son is on the severe end. So maybe not the most severe case you've known, but close. And so... maybe I'm not doing him justice by being clear enough about the severity of his issues, but he's on the severe end. And it's an authentic experience with autism that my family's experienced. And it was what basically, she said destroyed a family, but you know, it was very hard for his mom. And you know, with her issues with depression and those things, they weren't helped by that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It's not helped by the fact that he doesn't sleep and you think you might be carrying from the rest of your life. And so
Kirk has, you know, like I'm sure 90% of our listeners out there have family issues that were directly or indirectly
affected by it. So like we talked about this last
and he doesn't talk about them too much, but they are out there. It's not like they don't happen.
His mom's being evicted again because he destroyed the water supply to the house. So now we're trying to figure out a way to help her get a house. So I'm trying to help her come up with a down payment and all. So don't talk to me about you don't know what it's like to listen. I've got my 6 foot, 230 pound little bam bam that destroys everything. And so I don't know. Her experience is real. It sounds like she's got somebody in her life that's destroying her life. So I'm sure she reached out from a position of pain, but and my experience is real. Graham, your experience is real.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
we're not these people who are saying everyone is a Rain Man,
right?
And everyone has got this, they're the mathematical geniuses. That's what autism is. I know you've dealt with that most of your life. That's not us.
Yeah, that's not, yeah.
That's not
that's
us.
That's not what we're saying at all.
What I love about your letter back to them is it's typical you. Off air, you're like, I really shouldn't have wrote back what I did. Oh, Greg, I lost my temper. And then he reads me this most politically correct, well-balanced, nice guy email back.
Well,
typical Kirk. I don't. Sometimes we'll say like normal things on it, and he'll get off and be like, I was a little too rough there. I'm like, I don't know, Kirk. I think you're just a real nice guy.
Well, I feel like sometimes she's obviously coming from a position of pain. This isn't a person who... It has no connection to autism, and then it was just like, I'm going to... But she didn't take a second to listen to the podcast. Like,
yeah.
You didn't listen.
Yeah.
I think we open every episode with, my son is severely autistic, and your brother's mildly autistic.
Yeah.
How would we phrase it?
I mean, we really do agree. We like...
So, anyway.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's another episode.
Thank you for your letters.
Thank you for your letters. Honestly, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for knowing about us, even though you disagree with us. And to the rest of you out there, thank you very much for listening as well. I know we both really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I was joking, but I'm serious. Thank you for your letters. We do receive a lot of positive letters every week. Please review us on iTunes. We say this all the time. Subscribe. That's a big deal to us. That helps us a lot. And share this podcast with all your friends.
Yeah. We hope to have a up on Stitcher. So if you're if you have a friend who's a Android and stuff like that, and you know, and update our SoundCloud as well. Thanks very much, guys. We appreciate it. Take care. I'm Graham K at Graham K Comedy.
This is Kirk Smith at Kirk Smith Comedy.
And you can find us on Facebook at Autastic Podcastic. That's our Facebook. And also, what's our Gmail?
autasticpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. We've made it really confusing for some reason.
We're going to switch it.
Thanks very much, everybody. We love you. Bye.